This is a podcast from the Queen City Podcast Network.
It's cold and flu season. Naturally, people are worried about getting sick. But what about our dogs? Veterinarians are seeing more cases of kennel cough in the Charlotte area. We're asking, what is kennel cough, and how do we keep our dogs healthy?
The most common things we see are a cough. We can see things like pneumonia develop.
This is WBTV's Good Question. We are joined now by Dr. Jessica Taylor, a veterinarian with Pet Folk. Jessica, thank you for taking the time to talk with me.
Thank you so much for having me.
First things first, wanted to see if you could tell me a little bit about Pet Folk and what the company is and does.
Sure. So Pet Folk is here in Charlotte as well as in Raleigh, North Carolina. We are a practice that sees general cases, urgent care, wellness care for dogs and cats, and are happy to help our communities. We have a lot of outreach in our community too.
And what's your official role over there?
So I'm the Vice President of Veterinary Medicine. I work with a fantastic team to support all of our doctors and pets and pet parents.
That is awesome. We appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. I know that a lot of folks are talking about kennel cough these days and wanted to start with the basics. Can you explain what kennel cough is?
Sure. So kennel cough is actually kind of a misnomer. So we in the veterinary industry also refer to it as just canine infectious respiratory disease. So it can be caused by a lot of things. And so it's not just dogs that go to the kennel. Any kind of social interaction, whether it be at a boarding facility or at a doggy daycare, or even hanging out at, you know, a social event, a brewery, lots of places where we take our pets these days can have that exposure to an infection. Respiratory disease that is commonly known as kennel cough.
Gotcha. So is kennel cough just one disease, or are you talking about like a range of sicknesses that can be classified as kennel cough?
Right. Yep. So historically, kennel cough was, when we said that word, it made us think of a specific bacteria called Bordetella. Bordetella bronchoseptica is a bacteria that can cause kind of a dry hacking cough in dogs and can lead to some more severe symptoms. But what we found over the years is really there's a lot of different things that can cause similar symptoms. So we think of canine influenza, which is a virus, just like people can get human influenza. There are some strains that affect dogs. And then there are some other bugs, things like mycoplasma, other bacterial or viruses that can cause similar respiratory signs like coughing, nasal discharge, and just not feeling well that are spread in a similar way.
You said you're in Charlotte, correct?
Yes.
So recently it sounds like we've had a couple outbreaks or a couple different facilities that have had issues with kennel cough or different sicknesses. What leads to that? What's going on with that?
Yeah. So in our hospitals, we definitely have seen an uptick in these types of cases. And the way that it's spread is through the air. So if we have a dog that is coughing or that has an illness and comes into an environment with other dogs and coughs or sneezes, it can spread those viruses or bacteria in the air. And if another dog is nearby, or, you know, they come nose to nose or share, you know, bowls or feeding surfaces, then they can also become infected. And the problem is that it can really take a couple days to show signs. And during that time, they can spread it. So there can be an incubation period of between, you know, 3 to 7 days where your dog may have the infection that isn't obviously sick yet. And we can sometimes see spread occur during that time frame too.
What symptoms usually happen when a dog gets a kennel cough type sickness?
Yep. So for these upper respiratory cases, whether it be kennel cough or in one of the other viruses, the most common things we see are a cough, sometimes nasal discharge. So it can be anything from clear to greenish or yellow discharge from the nose and sometimes even the eyes. But in some dogs, especially certain dogs that either have another medical condition or that have a predisposition towards respiratory infections, it can become more severe. So we can see things like pneumonia develop, which is infection or inflammation in the lungs. And then they can start to feel really bad. So they can have decreased eating, decreased drinking, being more lethargic, more tired, just seeming not themselves.
Oh my goodness. So how serious can it get? Can you get to the point where you have to take your pet into the vet?
Yeah. So anytime you're concerned, it's always best to call your veterinarian to see, you know, if you need to bring them in. Certainly if they aren't eating or drinking for longer than a day or two, we usually want to see them. Definitely important to call ahead because we want to minimize exposure to other pets that might be in a vet hospital or in that environment too, so that we handle those cases a little bit differently. But if you're concerned, then we're concerned as veterinarians. So it's always best to call.
How contagious is it? Is it possible that a dog that's infected could be around other dogs and they not get it?
It's possible. It is very contagious. The best thing to do to protect your pet is to make sure that they're vaccinated against some of these common diseases. There are vaccines against kennel cough or Bordetella. And then we also have vaccines against canine influenza. And just like with human vaccines, none of them are 100%, but we do know that if your pet is vaccinated against these respiratory diseases, they tend to have a milder or shorter case if they do get infected.
What is the treatment like usually once a dog is infected and is showing symptoms and appears to be hurting because of this?
Yeah, great question. So the symptoms, can range. And so the treatment can range too. It really depends on that individual pet, which is why it's important to talk to your veterinarian. For some pets, it's mild, and so they can get over it on their own. If they're still feeling good, they may have a little cough, but we may just monitor or treat them symptomatically to make sure that they're not keeping you awake as the dog mom or dad at home. But some pets that aren't feeling good, we will add in additional medication. So that may mean support, from the immune standpoint. It may mean antibiotics or other therapies to prevent secondary infections or to treat the infection. And sometimes we have to do diagnostics like x-rays to look at those lungs to see if there's something more severe going on that we need to intervene on.
Do you guys ever, and I hate to even ask this, you hear about dogs dying because of something that started as kennel cough?
I would say it's pretty rare. It's not impossible. The highest risk for those really severe cases are going to be pets that have another medical condition. So if they have something chronic or they have something severe like diabetes or, they have a short nose that they can't breathe very well anyways, then they may be more likely to have a really severe case. Certainly early intervention is best. And so catching it or noticing these signs and calling your veterinarian early is the best way to get them on the road to recovery.
You referenced this earlier in the interview, but it seems like these days a lot of people like to take the dogs out and about to the parks, to the breweries. Should we not be doing that as much, or is that just kind of part of the risk and we just have to make sure our furry friends are vaccinated?
Right. So I think the first step is making sure that your pet is vaccinated based on your lifestyle. And so that, again, is something you should talk about when you take them in for their regular checkups and make sure that you're getting those vaccines ahead of time. Just like with people, it takes a while for vaccines to really be effective. So asking about when is it safe to take my pet out after they've been vaccinated to make sure they have that coverage. And right now, I would say, if you don't have to take them out with you, you may want to let them stay at home just because we know that it is really prevalent right now in the community. And it usually will die down as pets are vaccinated and pets recover and we build up that immunity. But for the next probably few weeks, I would be cautious.
Oh, that's very interesting. Just like we have cold and flu season, is there a kennel cough season or does it kind of just spike at random?
It goes up and down. A lot of times it just has to do with how how many pets are in a facility, whether it be a boarding facility or a doggy daycare. Now that we are getting out and about more often, there may be more pets being boarded as their pet parents travel and can't take them with them. So it does come and go, but it can definitely take a little while to be resolved in a community. But really getting those pets vaccinated and well is the first step.
Gotcha. This might be too deep of a question, but do we know how patient zero ends up getting sick? Do we know how the first dog ends up with kennel cough?
These respiratory diseases are generally always out there. Huh. And because we travel a lot, both with our pets and without, it's usually at a low level somewhere, in the region. And unfortunately, once it starts going, it can spread very quickly. But again, having those vaccinated populations are really the best way to stop it.
Gotcha. Kennel cough, obviously something that's top of mind right now because of the uptick we've seen in the area. Any other sicknesses that you want to make folks aware of that normally, you know, people aren't worried about?
I think that as we, you know, as our pets age, we sometimes think that just because they look healthy, that we don't have to worry about, you know, vaccinations or kind of the preventative care. But really the opposite is true. Each time we go in with your pet, your veterinarian and your veterinary team wants to know what you guys are doing. You know, are you going to the parks? Do you go swimming? Do you hang out with other dogs? Are you, you know, going into the woods where you make pick up ticks? Because knowing those lifestyle changes really helps us offer the best protection, because there are vaccines against Lyme disease. There are vaccines against flu. There are vaccines against lepto, which can be picked up from the environment. So really having that discussion helps us know what best to protect your pet with, because there are lots of diseases, and it really just depends on what your pet is exposed to.
Absolutely. I know every pet is different, just like every person is different. But do you have any hard and fast rules for people who are like, oh, you know, he'll be fine. Spike is a tough dog. Do you have any hard and fast rules or symptoms you tell people about, like, no, he's not fine, you should take him in?
Yes. So again, anytime they're not eating or drinking, you know, for longer than a day or so, we want to hear about that, because they can get dehydrated. Mm. And then that can exacerbate the symptoms and really cause them to go downhill pretty quickly. Dogs and cats are really good at hiding symptoms. And so usually by the time that you're noticing a change, it's probably been longer than you think, and you need to get them in.
Gosh, that is definitely a good tip there. Doctor, anything else you'd like to add?
I think it's just really important. We don't want you to limit, you know, having fun with your pets, but given that there are some diseases out there, and when we notice those upticks, we want to make sure that everybody is aware and that you take common sense precautions to protect your pet and yourself. So just really thinking about, you know, what is essential travel and what is not, and making sure that you check with your veterinarian and see if your pet's vaccinations are up to date, or if you need to add any of those on, depending on what your upcoming travel plans are.
Great insight and great information. Dr. Jessica Taylor, Vice President of Veterinary Medicine with Pet Folk, thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you so much.
WBTV's Good Question is a product of WBTV in cooperation with Queen City Podcast Network and Balto Creative Media. From WBTV, Good Question is produced by Jack Vandertal. Special thanks to Jamie Bowl. For the Queen City Podcast Network, WBTV's Good Question is produced by Brian Baltashevitz and Maria Delgado. Production coordinator, Taylor Robinson. It is recorded at the Queen City Podcast Network studios in Uptown Charlotte.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.